This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio with me, Deb Wolf, and I got some email questions from y'all, which I love, so thank you very much, and I will get to them. One in particular that I'm going to get to today, because I think it might be Super Bowl related in a weird way. I'll tell you the question now, I'll solve it later. The question is, why does my dog elbow me in the groin when I'm watching CNN and sitting on the couch cuddling? So some of you may have this problem when you're watching the Super Bowl. When you're engaged in something or disturbed by something or tense about something, your dog's going to want to interrupt that. And we'll talk about that in a minute and how you can get the interruption to be better than a kick in the you-know-what. Because why is he picking that particular method to get attention? Well, you know why. Because it works. Spill your popcorn, dump your phone. If you're listening and you're going, oh, that's what my dog does. Dump your coffee that you just paid $7 for, the fancy one. Yeah. Okay. It's because it works. All right. So I'll talk about what you can do instead of that later in the show. And I have a trivia question for you that I don't think you can research very easily because it's no fun if you look it up. I want you to think about the animal kingdom, the animal world. What species, and I will tell you by the end of the show, hopefully I'll remember to tell you or I might leave you hanging. No, I won't. I won't leave you hanging. So I will tell you by the end of the show, what species is this true of? 20% of the males are gay and they steal babies and raise them as their own. Gay baby stealers. I know, this sounds like a tabloid headline, but no. This is actually in the animal kingdom. There's actually more homosexuality and more reverse of roles than you might think in the animal kingdom. Like the seahorses are completely reversed in terms of reproduction, male and female. But we're not going to talk about seahorses today. We might talk about iguanas. Yeah, what do you do if you find an iguana that's dropped out of a tree? Well, move it off the street. And that's about really all you have to do. But they are dropping in Florida because it's so cold there. And I do want to talk about the cold when we come back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, we're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. And I was listening to somebody calling their animal the other day. And the animal is normally called by one syllable name. But this person kept repeating the name. So, for example, if the cat's name was Joe, this person kept calling the cat Joe. And I was watching this, and I'm not going to say the real name because I don't want the person listening to be upset because they specifically said I'd better not talk about this on the show because they don't want to be outed. So, okay, I changed the name of the cat so no one will know. Anyway, Joe. And I was watching the cat, and I swear to you, the cat thinks this person has a speech impediment or is maybe a little simple because he knows his name is Joe, but he still answers to it. But you can see he just doesn't quite respect it the same way. So I thought that was interesting. We all have nicknames for our pets. Sometimes it's just a matter of, a dog named Peaches, all of a sudden Peachy, something very simple that calls easily. Sometimes it's more to do with some incident that happened or some characteristic, or sometimes they suit the nickname more than the name. But dogs and cats are perfectly capable of learning a bunch of different names for themselves and knowing when you're referring to them, which kind of makes me question the whole idea that they don't have a sense of themselves. I've seen dogs look in the mirror and see themselves and react as if it's another dog and then figure out that it's them. I've seen that it's themselves. I've seen that happen over and over and over at a certain stage when puppies are first able to look in the mirror and see what's there, and they get scared. They bark, and then they see the thing barking. And after a while, they figure out that it's them because the reflection mirrors them and they can't smell a different dog, and they conclude. And then from then on, they don't bark in a mirror anymore. So to me, that's a sense of self. It is. Okay, so I have to do some news. There was something bad that happened in a place called Surrey, which is one of the biggest cities in British Columbia, suburb of Vancouver, but a different city. Anyway, in Surrey, there was a little wee dog, little wee one, and it was killed by a really big dog. But the whole thing was caught on camera. And so the reason we're talking about this, and the reason I do talk about news stories, is mostly because I want you to think about them. Because even though this isn't where you live, and this story is just something that happened last week, it's something that happens over and over again, the world over. Dogs out of control cause damage, and then what do we do? So it's interesting to see this example, because usually a dog gets a strike, two strikes, three strikes, a warning. The owner gets a warning, the warning gets fine, and eventually, if need be, the dog is apprehended and put down. But in this case, because of the video, which showed the entire thing graphically, judge decided that's it, and the dog was put down. So it's just an interesting case. It's an interesting example of how video evidence really affects decisions. Because these policies were set in place for years and years and years, the world over, decades really. But now it's changing, because when you see it, you can't help but say, you know what? That dog is a danger. And the people who lost their little dog were saying, you know, it could have been a kid, it could have been anyone's dog. The idea that a dog who attacks other dogs might also attack children is not necessarily accurate. I do agree that there are aggressive dogs who are out of control and should be controlled and trained and or not allowed to live with potential victims and have access to potential victims. And may, in some cases, when the owners can't control them, for sure they need to be put down. But I don't think you can say that a dog who kills dogs or hurts dogs is going to also hurt people. I think these are two separate categories for most animals. Now, there are some dogs who are just aggressive with everyone and everything. Don't touch my bed. Don't come near my food. Don't look at my person. There are dogs like that. But most dogs with a problem have either a problem with people or a problem with dogs. It's not usually both. And that can be a problem of fear as well. There are lots of dogs who love other dogs but are scared of new people or scared of big man or scared of people with hats or scared of backpacks or some weird incident that got so firmly implanted in their brain that they're forever afraid of that thing. So yeah, there are dogs like that, but normally it's not the same. And there are fearful dogs who are just afraid of all new things, and that can present as aggression if they're cornered or forced. But they just need time, the fearful ones. Time and exposure and lots of kindness and lots of practice at the things they're afraid of, to learn that, oh, wait a minute, I'm not scared of backpacks when they're sitting on the floor in the room. Oh, big hats don't scare me when my owner's wearing it. Now I won't be scared of other people wearing big hats. I mean, it's really easy to diffuse these fears, if you think about it, and come up with a way. So we're going to come back and talk about the cold. Stay tuned on Animal Party Pet Life Radio.
Real people, real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem. But the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye, and 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore on advertising. So I said, you know what? I'm going to order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests, and they said, I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye.
I've got a Labrador. He could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell. She was very alert. She was going on 5-mile walk. She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's carnivora.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, we're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. And as I watch the footage of the snowstorms and the ice storms and the cold, and also the footage of some of the forces in Minneapolis trying to deal with the cold, and people in uniform slipping all over the place and complaining about it. And I gotta say, I don't know about invading Greenland with all that ice up there. I don't know. I don't know how that's gonna go for y'all. You know, when I lived in the Middle East, it was really noticeable when a workforce came from a country like Germany or Sweden or even America, and the people were not used to this incredible desert heat. Even if they came from hot places, they had air conditioning and lived inside and had office jobs. And now all of a sudden, they're in the hottest place on earth, try to work 5 o'clock in the morning till noon when they cut off because it's 140 in the shade. And these people seem weak, weak. The strongest among them is weaker than the weakest of the people used to the climate. Well, up in Canada, you know, I think about the Inuit. We used to call it Eskimo incorrectly, but the people of the North, First Nations people who live there, and how used to the cold they are and the ice, and how easily it would be for someone like that to trick someone from the South, even someone exposed to the cold and able to handle the cold and dress for the cold, just trick them. You know, it'd be real easy to, for example, lay some kind of bait near their camp and have the polar bears finish the job. I think we got to really think about this when we're talking about the world and wars and conflicts and what we can do, where we can do it. You know, that Survivor show, it's always set in hot places. And if it were set in cold places, I think the outcome would be very different. I think we would see different results. So I'm being a little tongue-in-cheek here, but I really do think about the wildlife there. And if you don't know your environment, you don't know your climate, your body's not used to it, your blood isn't the right thickness or thinness for the climate, your skin, your all of it. You're not used to the scorching sun, or you're not used to the freezing cold. The people in Florida right now are really unhappy and really uncomfortable. And by New York or Canadian standards, it's really not that cold there right now. But as you see, the iguanas are dropping. For an iguana, it sure is. And so when you put yourself in a different climate, a different environment with different animals and different wildlife, and you try to do something that the people there may not want, I think you got to really think about that. In the Middle East, the invasions are always done in dry season, because water is so key. Well, historically in Europe, wars fought in cold places in winter did not go well. So we're going to really think about this. But that's enough of politics. I'm just anticipating all kinds of interesting juxtapositions of people where they don't belong in climates they don't know, where animals will definitely play a role in the news coming up, I believe. So we're going to go to break. And I'm going to solve some of those questions I was talking about. Like, what do you do if your dog keeps punching you in the you-know-what when you're watching TV? Or spilling your snacks? Or knocking your phone? All of that. Stay tuned on Animal Party Pet Life Radio.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand, only from Pet Life Radio.
Hello! We're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. And I do want to give a little warning first. There's a product out there, lots of them actually, that are meant to be applied as a liquid on the neck of a cat to stop the cat from having fleas, sometimes fleas and worms, different combinations of gunk in there. But it's basically parasite protection. And it goes on the back of the neck of a cat. And they're specifically formulated for felines. Okay, so then there's a similar product for dogs, but it's a totally different chemical. And the one for dogs will kill any cat. So you gotta be really, really careful. And I don't think the labeling is careful enough. So I'm just putting that out there. If you buy a pack and you have cats and dogs in your house and you pull the little vials out of the package and they're sitting around and one of your kids or somebody thinks they're doing you a good deed and they do you a favor because the cat was sitting there, so they thought that you can get into a disaster. So just be absolutely careful. I Ziploc bag with the cats, dogs written in giant permanent ink, and I never make a mistake because it's not one you want to make. All right, everybody. So that was just a little warning, just to keep you all safe. And I'm going to talk about that groin-punching dog. Okay, so if the only time you divert from your show, Super Bowl, CNN, whatever it is, if the only time you stop watching is when your dog's annoying, you will get an annoying dog. So what you got to do is on the commercial breaks, and there are so many, even though you're probably fast-forwarding through them if you've PVR'd it, but if you're watching live sports, you're probably not. So, or live news, you're probably not. So there's commercial breaks. So on the commercial break, it's the perfect time to get the dog to bring you a toy. And if he's not at that yet, have a toy in your hand and then hand it to him and say, get the toy, get the toy, get the toy. Good boy. Practice that every commercial break until he will actually pick it up and hand it to you. Now you're golden. Now you can go from there. Now you got the makings of fetch and find and fetch and all kinds of tricks that you can do on the commercial. And when the commercial's over, you say, come on up here, let's cuddle, because that's how it started. He's cuddling. And all of a sudden, the dog gets bored, or the dog is concerned with you, or thinks he needs to distract you, and he pokes you. So you're going to show him instead, we have the stress relief, the playtime, the break, when I say, on the commercial, and we do it, and we do it, and we do it, it's fun, and then it's over, and you cuddle with me. Now, if the dog starts punching you in the groin, after, while you've decided it's time to watch again, well, then you have to remove him. Without fun, without a lot of touching, you may have a leash on him already, just escort him to somewhere where he can't bug you. And then, after a significant time, bring him back to try again. Now, once he gets it, there's lots of praise and touching and cuddles. Once he understands that when you say, okay, playtime's over, come up and cuddle, he's to stay still and not punch you anymore. And it should work out really well. What you're going to do is show him that the groin punching gets you removed. The fetching during breaks and playing and learning tricks, and it can be anything. It can be high five, paw, roll over, sit. I mean, there's so many tricks. So if you're looking for tricks, you can go to Deb Wolf Pet Expert on YouTube, and I show you how to train dogs all kinds of tricks on there. All kinds of tricks. Fun tricks. So it's really easy. And you'll have a dog that is winning and entertaining and not punching you in the groin anymore. Okay, now this is also true for dogs who jump up. And I've experienced dogs who will jump on the furniture and then jump off the furniture just to be told good. Because no one's told them good when they're just off the furniture. They have to be bad to get told good. So there's something broken in the process there, right? The people just have to tell the dog how good it is before it jumps on the couch. And when it jumps on the couch, the minute it does it, if they don't want that, they have to say no right then, right? Not later, not after, not ignore the bad thing and only reward the good thing. They have to make it so the dog understands that it's good when it's not on the couch. It's not good for jumping off the couch once it's on the couch, right? It's good when it's not on the couch at all. So next time, if this was my dog, I'd have a leash on it and I'd just pull it off the couch. And then later, when it's not jumping on the couch at all, I'd say, good boy, off the couch, go lie down, good boy, lie down, good boy. And I'd give him a new command, like lie down. So it's really easy to do. Okay, everybody. So who are these gay baby stealers? Well, you might not guess. It's not monkeys. No, it is black swans. Black swans, 20% of them are gay, and they mate for life with a male, two males, and they will steal babies from females, from couples, rather. They will steal babies, and that's how they do it. Now, there's some idea that this is a survival trick because in times of difficulty where there's not enough females, the female can lay more eggs, and so this means there's more reproducing, but also that two males defending young is stronger than a female and a male. So it could be a kind of fail-safe in their population to make sure that they're never short of babies. It's really interesting how that works out. Okay, everybody, thanks for listening today. And from me, Deb Wolf, Animal Party and Pet Life Radio, ciao, meow. Be good to your animals.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.